Welcome to a Builds, Bullets, and Brews bonus episode right now with a Father's Day bourbon list. Joining me today is Daisy Sosa, a.k.a. the Whiskey Wench. Daisy, cheers.
Cheers to you. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for joining me. But before we jump into the list, what is the Whiskey Wench?
The Whiskey Wench is a blog that I started a while ago. And the reason why I started the blog was because I love whiskey. But I soon realized that a lot of my female friends or women didn't know much about whiskey. And I started it as a way to teach females and women about more about whiskey, the types of whiskeys, what was there to know about it. And that's how the blog got started.
That's awesome. Because I think, you know, I think a lot of people probably imagine people who like whiskey or bourbons or scotches, they're very much that Ron Swanson type of guy from Parks and Rec. But that's totally not what you're bringing to the table.
No, it's not. And it's funny because at times when we go out, my fiance and I, we go out to drink whiskey, most of the time the guys that are there will engage Jim as opposed to me. They won't really talk to me about whiskey because essentially they think I don't know much about it, but they soon realize that they're wrong about that.
Well, let's find out what you know, because you've given me a great list of whiskeys. The first one on it is the Barrel Bourbon Batch 20, coming in at $97.
So this is the on the higher end, and this is the most expensive one on the list. And before I talk a little bit about it, I did want to mention that there are a few in this list that are cask strength. And essentially that means that they are bottled at 52% or higher. And when you say cask strength, that means that it's pulled out of the barrel, and it's not diluted whatsoever. So the first one, Barrel Bourbon, actually is a cask strength. And they're produced by Barrel Craft Spirits. They are sourced in blend casks from established producers. So essentially they just acquire bottles from different distilleries and they blend them together. This process is actually not known commonly in the U.S. to be independent bottlers. You find it a lot in the U.K., but they're doing something quite unique by being independent bottlers of whiskey. So this is their batch 20. And what they've done is they've taken whiskey from selected barrels from Tennessee and Kentucky, and they've matched them together, and they've aged it for about 10 to 14 years.
Is that the normal aging process, 10 to 14, or is it shorter for some?
So bourbon doesn't really, you don't have to have a certain number of age for bourbon. If you are considered a straight whiskey, you have to have mature your bourbon for 2 years. With this one, 10 to 14 years, it's quite a big number. So yeah, this is pretty unique.
Okay. The next one on your list, Blanton's, coming in at $70. I've had that before. It's definitely a great, great bourbon. Kind of hard to find for myself in Virginia right now, but definitely worth getting.
It is worth getting, and it was too very hard for me to find here, but we finally found somebody who had it. So I think if somebody can find this one, this is the one that I would recommend above all of the ones in the list. It's just fantastic. It's really smooth from start to finish. So if somebody could only buy one and they can find it, I would say that this would be the one they should get.
And the cork is kind of a rarity, right? I mean, or you can collect them all, right?
So yes, the cork is, you know, it has the man on the horse, and there are 5 different positions that the horse is at. So if anybody likes collecting things, they can try to find them. I don't think I've known anybody who has collected all 5.
There's actually a restaurant in Richmond where he's got a coat hook, a coat hook rack with all the Blanton tops on it. So he's got
really?
All of those. I've seen it. Yeah. But it's a whiskey bar, whiskey restaurant, so you would expect that.
So this is in Virginia, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I'll have to go there.
He's just renovating new space right now. It's called McCormick's Big Whiskey Grill. Definitely worth going.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'll have to go.
So the next one on the list is Woodford Reserve Double Oak at $64. How does this double oak differ from the standard Woodford Reserve?
So the one thing that people need to know is that for bourbon to be bourbon, they have to be matured in new barreled American oak. They can only use it once. What's the difference with this one is that it's matured in two new oak casks. So essentially, they take, they first put all the bourbon in char oaked barrels. And after some time, they take that liquid and put it into a barrel that has been deeply toasted before it's charred. So it the two different barrels helps the whiskey get that sweet and oaky taste to it.
Doubling down on the oak.
Yes, and I think that this is why, you know, it tastes different than any other Woodford Reserve, because I've had Woodford Reserve before, not this one that I've not enjoyed, but this one's actually fantastic.
All right. Then we have Weller Antique 107 at $60.
So this one is also hard to get. And it's been hard to get for about 5 years now. We came across it recently and we just bought the bottle. One of the unique things about Weller is that it's a wheated bourbon. And wheated bourbons tend to be slightly sweeter. And I actually really, really enjoy this one. This one's actually also at 53%, so this is a cask strength. I would also say that if somebody finds this one, because they're hard to get, I would definitely recommend that they pick up a bottle.
And for cask strength bourbons, should people just drink them as they would any normal bourbon? Would they, if they normally drink it neat, should they drink it on the rocks to bring it down a little bit? How should somebody drink a cask strength bourbon?
Really depends on how developed their palate is. If you're a new bourbon drinker, anything that's really high alcohol, you're going to taste it and you're not going to really enjoy it. So you would want something that's not so high in ABV. You would want something that's lighter. That way you can actually start enjoying it. For somebody who has been enjoying bourbon for a long time, a high ABV is actually pretty good, because for the price of this bottle, I would say I bought it at $60. You're getting a high volume of alcohol in one dram. So you only need like one of those and you're all set.
Okay. Rather than two or three.
Right. Yes, exactly.
All right. The next one we have is the Woodinville Straight Bourbon Whiskey at $40.
So one of the reasons why I really enjoy this whiskey is because it's not your normal Kentucky whiskey. It's actually from Washington State. And I think that what they've done, they're like this really small distillery. What they've done is like they just came out of the woodwork and they just put out a great product out there with a straight bourbon. And they're actually not owned by a U.S. company. They're now owned by Moët Hennessy. So if you wanted something that wasn't out of Kentucky and wanted to say something different, rather a small batch, this is actually quite ideal. I mean, I think it's really smooth and it tends to be harsh a little bit at first, but then it mellows down to some sweetness.
Yeah, and at a very, very approachable price point as well.
Oh, yes, you can't beat $40.
Nope. We have Old Ezra 7-year at $42.
So this one's great, but I will warn people that it's one of the harshest one on this list. But the reason why I have it in here is because you get bang for your buck. It's a high ABV. It's set at 58.5%. It goes on strong, and I mean, I think it kind of punches you in the face, but then it kind of mellows down and warms you up. It's like perfect for those people who like high alcohol volume.
Okay. But if you don't want to be punched in the face, will the next one be a little bit more kind, the 1792 at $43.99?
Amazingly, it is. And it's funny because it's got a higher alcohol content. It's got 62.5. But even though the alcohol is higher, the alcohol content in this bottle is a lot smoother. So this one, you can drink it and it's like it warms you up. This was one of the ones that I had a sip of it. And like 5 minutes later, I can still feel it in the back of my throat warming me up. I mean, in a good way.
Mm-hmm. So what is it about the 1792? How does it have a higher ABV, but it has a bit of a smoother feel to it? What is it specifically about that allows it to have that?
I would say it's the barrels that they use. They've distilled it completely differently. That they've done a great job at the quality that they've produced to make sure that you still feel it up front, but then it goes down rather extremely smoothly.
All right. Next on our list is the Kings County Distillery Peated Bourbon, $45. I've never heard or had a peated bourbon. Why is this? What are they doing with the peat?
So they're sourcing the peat, but one of the things about Kings County is that it is the first distillery in New York since Prohibition, and they opened up in 2010, so it was a pretty big deal for them. And they source their peated barley from Scotland. So they order the peated barley, comes to their distillery, and they work with the peated barley to make their bourbon. What's great about this is that for those, there are people who do not like peat smoke, don't like peated whiskeys. This one's very subtle. So you get the peat, but not to the point where it's just like overwhelmingly peat. It's light and it's sweet, so it's the perfect balance.
Okay. Will that help maybe bridge a little bit of a gap between bourbon, whiskey, and say scotch? Is it kind of a blend of those things?
It is, and it does drink a bit like a single malt scotch. And I think that people who love smoke peated scotches probably won't enjoy this one because the peat is subtle. For example, I love, let's say, a Lagavulin, which has high peat. It just, the peat hits you in the face. If that's what you're looking for, that's not what you're going to get with this one. You're going to get the nice little subtle notes of peat that'll hit you, and you'll be like, oh, there's the peat, but it's not going to overwhelm the palate. So I think this is good for people who are wanting to get into peated single malt scotches, but are yet afraid to do that. This is an ease, they can ease their way in through this one.
And the last one on the list is Maker's Mark 46 at $35. This was actually the only one I was actually able to find locally, but it also was at a very affordable price, $35. I can be kind of cheap sometimes, but definitely enjoyed a glass of this. Very smooth, very drinkable. I really don't know what I like in my bourbons. I'll know it when I try it. And this one I liked.
So I too like this one because it's easy to drink. And I think anybody who hasn't gone into bourbon yet, this is a good way to start. Funny story about Makers is that Makers was the first bourbon I ever drank. And I drank it with a lot of ice. That's how I started into the whiskey world. The more I drank it, the less ice there was in the cup, and now I essentially just drink it neat. But that's how I got my start with Makers. But the 46.
What makes it special is the 46.
So for the 46, what they've essentially done, they've taken a fully matured Makers, they've taken it at cask strength, and then in that barrel, they've added 10 sear virgin frank oak staves. They just put the staves in with the barrel, and they mature the barrel with the staves in there for another 9 weeks. So that actually helps this whiskey to be bolder, and it actually gives it a bit of a more complex taste. But it is so smooth that it is, you can drink it. Anybody who doesn't love bourbon, this is an easy one to drink.
So does that adding those oak staves, is that similar, not equal, but similar to the Woodford Double Oak where they're adding some extra oak flavor or oak, aging into the bourbon?
Very much so. I would say that the only difference is that with the Maker's Barrel, they're adding more wood into the wood that's originally storing the bourbon. With the Woodford Reserve, you're moving the liquid from one barrel to another barrel. So it kind of it's a different process in a way, but each of these two processes are so unique that this is what makes these two whiskeys different and what gives them their unique taste profile.
Wonderful. And you've got a bonus one for us too?
I do, and that's the Westland.
Westland peated at $70. And this is another peated one.
It is another peated whiskey, and they're also from Washington State. They source their barley also from Inverness, Scotland, and this one also tastes very much like a scotch. This is one of my favorite non-traditional bourbons. If you're looking to try something that's peated, just like the Kings County, this is one of those as well. It comes at a higher price, but their quality is quite fantastic. So this is another way for people to try out peated whiskeys that are not super high in peat.
Sounds delicious. I look forward to hopefully trying every single one of these one day. Daisy, one last thing. Where can people find you online?
So I have a blog that my blog name is thewhiskeywench.com. My Instagram is thewhiskeywench. I do have a Twitter, which is @whiskey_wench. And then finally on Facebook, Whiskey Wench.
Great. Well, we will have the full list posted on the Builds, Bullets, and Brews social accounts, but also over on the Whiskey Wench blog. All these will be there. So make sure you grab yourself one of these bottles, either for yourself or for that dad in your life, and let us know how you like the recommendations. Cheers.
Cheers.